Hey everyone, welcome to episode 2 of the JunkCast. I'm your host, Thomas Bessie, and with me, the CDC has labeled him a public health hazard, but I just like to think it was my co-host, Gary Estrada. How you doing?
What did I do wrong? What? I'm no hazard.
No, the stuff that comes off your head, yeah, it's not dangerous. It's anthrax?
Yeah, you caught on to me. I'm trying to kill some bitches up in this joint. Anyway, good to see you guys again. Episode 2. Excited to be here with my friend Tom.
Yeah, we got a lot of good feedback from our first episode.
Yep, it was a learning experience. So we're still learning, still growing, but we're hoping to make this better for you guys. So thanks for listening.
All right, so we're going to kick it off. What we usually do is what you've been doing this week. And as usual, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
What you been doing?
I've been doing all kinds of stuff this week. Let's see where to start.
TV is usually a good start.
TV. Okay, TV is like the thing I haven't done much of because I've been so involved in other things. I haven't really watched that much TV at all. I missed last night's Office and Community, which are the two that I'm big on. And then I haven't caught up on this week's Archer or anything. So all the series that I normally follow, I'm actually a little bit behind on because I've been doing some other stuff, which I'll get to in just a second. Watched a little bit more In Treatment, which... You know, I'm kind of boring because I don't really spread my taste out that far on different stuff. So I kind of focus on stuff. I'm gonna jump on some other stuff. I actually saw something I'm excited about. I was browsing around on like the new arrivals section on Netflix, you know, on the Xbox, and I went to the television section to kind of see what else is new. And I saw an old show that I've heard a lot about, but I've never seen, called Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I had that on my SQ as well.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to check that out. I don't know if it's if the show only ran for one season. They have one season on Netflix. It's 30 episodes.
Hmm.
But yeah, I'm interested to see that. Apparently that show was kind of the inspiration for parts of games like Alan Wake and Deadly Premonition. So
two very, really different games.
Yeah, but both set in like small town, kind of like Stephen King-esque Maine, like, you know, foggy... Like northeast areas, so or northwest, whatever. Anyway, I'm excited to check that out. So not too much in terms of television, but I will get into. We'll save the movie stuff for last because I know you're gonna want to talk about that too. So I'm gonna jump into what games I've been playing.
Right.
I've been all over the place. I guess I'll start with on the Xbox. I've been kind of neglecting my Xbox as of late. I feel kind of bad. It's kind of the third wheel between me and the PlayStation 3 right now, and my mistress, the PC, which has got a little bit of attention lately. So I felt bad for this little orphan child, the Xbox, which used to be my favorite, and I kind of kicked it to the curb in favor of some of the new fancier stuff. But so I went back. My friend's been letting me borrow DJ Hero 2, so I went back and played some of that.
Also available on the PS3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. But I'm saying I'm borrowing it on the 360, and... I'm really enjoying that. I beat through the campaign, or through the Empire mode, I should say, where it's pretty much just like playing certain set lists and battling famous DJs and whatnot, which is pretty cool. And then I actually went on my very first online battle, and I expected to get my ass kicked because I only played through the game on medium. I've dabbled in hard, but it's pretty hard once you go up to hard. So I went online and... looked for people to play medium against, and I found somebody, and I whooped his ass. So I felt pretty good, so I just retired from online, 1-0, undefeated. I guess if I wanted the achievements, I could go back, but I searched some more and couldn't find anybody else to play, and that one guy didn't want to play me anymore because, you know, on medium I'm pretty good, but on hard I suck bad. So yeah, DJ Hero, there's some cool mixes in that game. I was thinking about going into... seeing if I can download the soundtrack for that game because there's some interesting stuff with DJ Tiesto and DJ Deadmau5 and some other people that I really like what they did there with the music. So some pretty cool mashups. As for the PC, I finally went back and I beat Mirror's Edge, which I picked up on Steam a while ago when it was on Steam sale.
Everything's on Steam sale at one point.
I know. Steam. Literally every game. The other day, Civilization 5 was on 40% off, and I really thought about buying it.
Should have called me up and bought that with you.
I thought about it, but with all the games coming out that I'm going to buy anyway,
I thought maybe
I've been wanting to buy some games that I see on sale, but I'm like, fuck, I know these other big games are coming out that I'm going to spend money on, so... So anyway, yeah, so I went back through my Steam library, because there was a little while where I bought a bunch of games that were going on sale. I think it might have been over the winter break that long ago for like $5 a pop. And I never got around to playing them, so I beat Mirror's Edge, and that game's awesome. And I gotta say, I have something to say about Mirror's Edge real quick, because I remember you and me played it through on the 360 when it first came out. We had rented it or something. And going back through now, not only does it still hold up, I always loved the game. I know it got kind of mixed reception.
Yeah, I'm really bummed that they canceled the sequel.
Well, they said that they brought about a concept for the sequel, and they said that particular concept they weren't on board with, but they still want to make another Mirror's Edge game eventually. But they said it's on the back burner compared to everything else. But they're not going to give up on the franchise. But still, I would love to see another Mirror's Edge game, especially done right. So take as much time as you need. But anyway, I got to say, on the PC, and I mean, I have a pretty good PC. I'm thinking, like, my graphics card is, like, decent right now, but I'm looking at some of these new graphics cards, and maybe, like, a year or two down the road, I'll buff it up. But I got this fairly recently and spent a good amount of money on it. That game, for being two or three years old, looks great. Like, the environments and everything. And I remember it looking good on the 360, but it looks unbelievable on the PC. And I had everything maxed out. It had a little bit of screen tearing. But then again, you know, running everything max, and I'm constantly flicking the camera left and right to try to make my little jumps back and forth between buildings. So yeah, that was sick. And so once I beat that, I was looking through my library as to what else to play, and I started up Kane and Lynch 2. Again, another game I bought for like $5. You're shaking your head, but
I'm not shaking my head. I do not like Kane and Lynch at all.
I bought it. It was like $5 on Steam sale. So I mean, so? I liked the first one enough to see what the second one was about. Like, I remember playing the demo and being interested in that visual style that they were going for. It's kind of like.
No? I'm with you on this. You're alone on this.
Okay. Just a little history for everybody else out there. Tom and I played through the first Kane and Lynch because it's both games are fully co-op. And we played through the first, and the first was not that good of a game.
No, I thought it was awful.
I thought it was interesting.
I don't know what gave you that impression at all.
The story was pretty bad. I did not like the story particularly. But, like, the characters interested me.
The characters were, fine. But you need more of that in the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, for $5, I want to see what they did with it. And, I mean, like, number two is greatly improved. It's still not a great game. They fixed a lot of the stuff that was wrong with the first one. The first one had a lot of bad controls and a lot of things that didn't really work that well. They stripped this one down to the stuff that did work, and then they refined that to make it better. From what everyone's told me, it's really short. I mean, I only spent about maybe an hour and a half playing it. So, and I'm on about chapter 4, and it's 10 chapters. So, I'm assuming I could probably beat it in around 4 hours. So, maybe it is that really short. I don't know if the other ones are longer or not. But I'm really enjoying it. It's got this crazy style to it. It's very shaky cam. The colors, it's like shot like with like a lo-fi camera kind of thing behind your back. It's a third-person game. And you're running through the streets of Shanghai, and it's really dirty and gritty. These guys have really foul mouths, and it just feels like a Tarantino or Robert Rodriguez kind of gritty B-movie, dealing with gangsters, a lot of violence. But yeah, I mean, it's really action-packed. It seems like this whole thing so far is just like, deal went bad, now run the hell and run fast because dudes are chasing you and they want to kill you and you're stuck in Shanghai. So I like that concept. And plus, I didn't want to give up on the series because there's been a lot of rumors going on that that they're eventually going to make a Kane and Lynch movie. There's been a lot of scripts put out there and a lot of directors that have looked at it with Bruce Willis being Kane and Jamie Foxx being Lynch. That was the last thing I heard about it. So, I mean, I was curious enough about that that I wanted to make sure I stayed current on the series. And that was about all I played on the PC. I figure once I get through with that one, I'll just hop on to the next game. Because I also bought that Chronicles of Riddick game for $5.
The Athena one?
Yeah. Escape from Butcher Bay, but it was also like the new one, you know, or it had the original game that was on the Xbox, and then they had the new one. It's Athena something.
Something, I don't know.
I don't know, it was supposed to be a pretty good first-person shooter, and it was, again, $5. I'll buy almost anything on Steam for $5. So, especially if it was a bigger game at one point in time. I don't know if I would have bought Civilization, because even at 40% off, it was still like $30. So it's like, I understand that game is definitely worth it, and it's probably definitely worth the full price of like 50 or so. But when I have a limited amount of funding for what I can spend my money on, I don't know if Civ, as much as I want to play it, would be at the top of the list, considering especially all the new games coming out later in the week. So, and then the rest was on the PS3 and the 3DS. 3DS was just a Super Street Fighter 3D edition. I haven't played a bunch of Street Fighter in the past, so I'm still searching for a character that I really like. The 3DS edition is kind of funny because you don't really need to learn any combos at all, because the character's special moves are mapped to the touchscreen, so you can just press big buttons that say, like, do a Hadouken, do a Shoryuken. And then your ultras and your supers are also buttons on there.
So you can just spam fireballs. Spam fireballs 10 times easier.
Yeah, but here's the crazy thing. So I don't know that much about Street Fighter, but I know that there's charge characters that have, like, you have to kind of charge up their moves before you can release them.
Yeah, and Chun-Li, I hate all those guys.
Yeah, but on the touchscreen, you don't have to charge them. You can just push the button on the touchscreen, and their attacks are instant, and you can spam those. So you can spam charge attacks, which apparently breaks the game. Granted, when you're playing the multiplayer and stuff like that, you can turn those controls off, so more purists don't have to deal with that kind of BS. But I appreciate it, because it lets me see these ultras and stuff like that I probably wouldn't be able to pull off being so new to the series. So I've been really enjoying that. I've been messing a lot around with Blanca. Is that how you say it? Blanca?
Is it the electric guy?
Yeah. He seems really cool. I don't know why I chose him. He looked like a mix between Hulk and Wolverine, so I picked him. He seemed neat. And then Pokemon again. Just playing more Pokemon. Got my third gym badge. Seems like it's taking me a long time to get badges. I'm about 17 hours into the game, and I just got my third gym badge.
Do you progress fast, or do you just...
I grind a lot. I explore the cities, because the cities in this game are fully rendered in 3D, and like they put a lot more effort into the creation of the world in this one and the characters. So, I mean, it's still your traditional Pokemon, but I'm going around and kind of exploring, because it's been a while since I played one of these games, seeing what they did with it, and grinding a lot, just trying to get my Pokemon to level up. And I've been fighting with this one stupid Pokemon called Purloin, because I captured it early in the game and it sucked, but I figured if I leveled it up enough, it would eventually get good. But no, it just evolved, actually, into Liepard. The names are pretty stupid.
Yeah, you're not selling me this on Pokemon at all.
Well, I'm not trying to sell you on Pokemon, it's Pokemon. Like, you either like Pokemon or you don't like Pokemon. This new game isn't that much different. It's got all these weird connectivity features that I don't even bother using. Like, you can survey people around you and, like, communicate with other people's avatars and see what they're doing. And I don't know, it's not really communicated very well in the game. I don't really understand how it's supposed to be used. But I was walking through the student union and I flipped open my DS and it, like, said I passed, like, 3 or 4 people playing Pokemon, which was kind of nuts. But it didn't really explain to me who they were, so I had no idea, like, you know, how to go about taking in that information. I was just like, okay, thanks. PS3. I popped in the original Little Big Planet again, because I never beat the main campaign's levels, and I was kind of going through my trophy collection looking for easy trophies to get, just because I've been, like, in this very, like, gotta get achievements, gotta get trophies mood this week. I don't know why, like, it's been a while since I've been in one of those moods, and they're fun when you just want to try to get as many trophies as you can. So
I notice a really big pattern here that you've been, like, 2 episodes in, I think people can pick up. For a person that really loves games, you don't beat a lot of games.
No, I don't. I play games, and then I get distracted. I have, like, ADD of games. It's like, I play something, and I'm like, ooh, shiny, and then I go play something else. So yeah, like, but the result is I play a lot of games, but I don't play them to their completion. And so, again, when there's, like, kind of droughts or lulls like there is right now, like... in
lulls?
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 Like L-U-L-L? Like, it's a lull? Not like L-O-L.
I have no idea what that word means, then.
Oh, my God. All right, well, you need to go to school. It's a lull. Like, look it up. L-U-L-L. It's like... I don't even know how to describe you what a lull is.
The English language is so butchered by now, like...
Your English language is butchered, and my English language is just fine. I don't want to be Webster here. But, so anyway, now you got me all sidetracked. So yeah, playing a little bit of Little Big Planet. That game gets kind of hard in, like, some of the later stages. I'm on this weird, like, Asian ninja-inspired stage, where it's like you're in, like, this dojo training, and it's really difficult because it requires really tight platforming controls. And I'm good at platformers, but Little Big Planet has, like, really floaty jumps and really loose.
I want to clarify for the audience here. Garrett does have a big ego, but he's really good at platformers.
Okay, thank you. If there's one game type that I'm good at, it'd be platformers.
Like, it's kind of astonishing how well he does in N+ and Super Meat Boy.
And other games.
Those are other platformers, sure.
Yeah, those are the two that I really focused on. But like, yeah. So yeah, if there's one thing I can normally wrap my fingers around, it's platform games. And while I appreciate everything Little Big Planet does and its graphical style and all its humor, the platforming controls are pretty poor on that game. It's like it's fun. It allows for multiple people to kind of jump around and stuff. Yeah, but when I'm playing back,
are you gonna pick up the second one?
Eventually, I really do want to pick up the second one, but I figured I shouldn't pick it up until I at least play through all the levels in the first one.
I don't think it'll matter.
No, it won't matter. I know there's no big story thread or anything, but I meant like, I might as well at least get my money's worth out of the first one. And it really irritates me too, because when I bought Little Big Planet 1, I bought it online for cheap, but I ended up getting the European version of the game, so I didn't realize that at first, so I bought some of the downloadable content for it, and it never unlocked because it's American downloadable content from the American PlayStation Store, and it doesn't work in the European version of the game. But all the downloadable content that you bought for the first one carries over to the second one. So when I eventually do get Little Big Planet 2, all my downloadable content will finally become available to me. So, I mean, like that $7 or $8 I spent will actually have some meaning. I think I bought the Pirates of the Caribbean level pack or something like that.
Caribbean.
Yeah, so I can't even say it now. The Pirates level pack.
Pirates.
New Pirates movie coming out this summer too, so it's like, maybe I'll do it then. Like, get in the mood for it.
No, we're done with Pirates.
Yeah, me too. But anyway, so that, you saw me, I started over God of War 3 after I just beat it last week because we had a discussion about who had the most trophies in it.
And my answer was me.
To be fair, we both have 58%.
But I technically have more trophies.
You have more trophies.
I haven't played that game in like a year.
You have like more of the smaller trophies, but I have more of the bigger trophies. But still, that doesn't satisfy me. And since I'm already in that God of War mood and like I just beat it and it's fresh in my mind, I figured I would just jump right back in. I'm playing it on easy so I can get a bunch of those lower level trophies just to surpass you and just to spite you. So that's what I'm doing right now. And
play God of War 3, aren't you?
You might have to bust it back out. I might actually go for a platinum on that, but that would require yet another playthrough, at least one. I mean, it's not super long, but...
It takes time.
I don't know. It does take time. Other than that, I mean, I feel like I covered quite a few games.
Yeah, you've been talking forever.
Yeah, why don't you shut me up and tell me what you've been doing?
Alright, so...
Oh, shit, I didn't even talk about the movies. Oh,
why do you movies?
Tell me about the video games and TV you've been playing, and then we'll just talk about movies at the
same time. I'll stick with video games, since you've talked forever on that.
I've been playing a lot of games.
I played one game this whole week.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see my yin to your yang. My spread vision shotgun attack at games, like little pellets hitting everything, but not killing anything, to your sniper rifle shot through the face... One shot, one kill approach.
Haven't even beaten the game, though.
I'm going to take a wild guess as to what you're talking about.
Go ahead.
Final Fantasy 13.
Nope.
No?
No, I haven't played Final Fantasy since our last podcast.
Okay. So I don't know what you're talking about now.
So a friend of mine came over, and we watched a movie, which I'll talk about later.
Okay.
But he let me borrow his Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep on the PSP.
Oh.
Which I never played before. And I like Kingdom Hearts. I just don't like it enough to go... buy it on a PSP.
I remember you were pretty big into the ones on the PS2, number 1 and 2.
Yeah, like, they're fun, and, like, it's nostalgia because you go through all those little Disney levels. I like this one because Stitch is in it, and I really like Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, Stitch. Man, I wish I should go back and watch Lilo and Stitch. That movie's great.
Yeah. So, Kingdom Hearts, I'm sure everyone knows what Kingdom Hearts is.
Yeah, you don't have to.
But this one's actually really weird because it's not really a prequel. You didn't play the second Kingdom Hearts, but at the end of the second Kingdom Hearts, if you do something, so you unlock a special movie.
Okay.
And it was really cool. Like, there's keyblades everywhere, and there's like five characters fighting.
Yeah, I think I saw that online.
Yeah. So it's a really cool little movie, and then there's a lot of build-up behind it, so it's all around this game, and you play as three characters, Vanitas, Terra, and Aqua.
Those are crazy names.
Yeah, a little bit.
Good old Square Enix. Anyway,
so,
go ahead.
The idea's a little weird, because you play through each character's story at once, and it counts as the game. So you go through like the little opening cutscene, and then you're like, all right, pick a character. And you go through that person's events up to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing that kind of irritates me, that really cool video that they did at the end of Kingdom Hearts 2, is the climax for this game. Like, that is, like, that's that little scene, which they do in the in-game engine. And after that was whatever boss fights you have. So it's a little weird to me. Also, Kingdom Hearts is pretty full of itself, with its whole Keyblade, darkness, light thing going on.
Yeah, that started to get a little confusing to me, even in the first game. And I know since then it's gone way off the deep end.
Dude, like, the first game, like, okay, people have hearts, and there's darkness in people's hearts, and that turns into monsters. I can kind of get behind that. And the Keyblade's supposed to be, like, the special little thing that can kill it. But since then, like, everyone has a Keyblade. There's, like, Heartless and Inverse and Nobodies and... It just gets crazier and crazier, and someone needs to rein that thing in, so it makes sense.
Well, for Kingdom Hearts 3, which you would have to assume eventually will come out, there's never even been any official.
Well, that's because the main people of Kingdom Hearts 3 are doing 13 Verses.
Oh, really?
So they've been doing that forever.
Yeah, because that game's not even out yet.
No.
not even a release date. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, man, those guys take their time, apparently. But yeah, so maybe by Kingdom Hearts 3 they'll kind of try to tie everything back in.
Maybe, but they're still releasing a whole bunch of portable ones. And I think the reason they're doing that is they don't need as many people on it, and they don't have to work nearly as hard graphically to do it. But this will get the stuff done. And that being said, this is an awful portable game.
You don't like it?
No, I like the game. But like a portable game to me is something I can take to go and I can just play while I'm watching TV. Nothing I have to pretty much pay a whole bunch of attention to. I can't do anything for this game because you do like a little area and then it goes to a cutscene. And then you do a little tiny area and then it goes back to a cutscene. And every cutscene is kind of important. So I can't like be distracted by anything.
Well, I mean, I think your portable vision for portable games and other portable...
Like, you play Pokemon.
Yeah.
And, like, you can go around doing tiny little things. There's not enough gameplay in this game for me to justify going out and playing it without having to, like, bring headphones in and, like, watch, like, a 10-minute cutscene.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about, like, lengthy story sequence cutscenes and...
There's, like, enough of them for me to be like, okay, I have to listen to this. This is kind of important.
Okay.
And then it goes back to gameplay, which I don't need sound for.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, because normally when I play portable games, you know, I don't put in headphones or whatever or anything.
Yeah, like, the music and stuff is nice, and when I'm playing out, and if I'm, like, outside, and I have, like, don't have any music or anything, I'll put in the headphones and listen to that. But there's too much of this game to be, like, it should be a console game, in my opinion. Might as well be.
Okay.
Because
I was going to say, some people might say, like, well... You know, it wouldn't be a good Kingdom Hearts game without a lot of story, without a lot of cutscenes.
No, that's fine. I like that. Just, like, make the cutscenes more significant, I think I should say. And, like, it's really long. I can officially say I'm two-thirds of the way through, because I've already done two characters, and I'm playing it all week.
Wow. You know what? Like, because obviously, to put it on the PlayStation 3 would have required a bigger team, would have been much more graphically intensive and stuff like that. But what this sounds perfect for, since it does sound like you want to play it on a home console, because it is kind of a console-type experience, maybe is like a downloadable game, like a PSN kind of game.
Maybe. I think it came out at that time where that wasn't a more viable option. I think now...
I thought it came out fairly recently. Like
Last year? 2010?
Well, because the thing I think of is Ratchet & Clank did that. They came out with the first one, Tools of Destruction, for PS3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the Ratchet & Clank Future Saga. It's like its own saga because there's been a couple different trilogies in that universe. Trust me, I'm versed in my Ratchet & Clank.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah, I need to play the new one. But But yeah, so there was The Tools of Destruction, which came out for the PS3. And they wanted to make this a trilogy, but they didn't want to spread it out over a really long period of time. So what they did was they came out with the first one, and then they started immediate work on the third one, and then had a small team do a PSN downloadable game as the intermediary between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't like your Mass Effect kind of epic trilogy. This is kind of like a smaller story trilogy inside the universe that is Ratchet & Clank, which isn't going to be limited to just the three games, because there was like four games, I believe, on the PS2, maybe more, once you count the PSP games that they made into PS2 games. And then there's going to be more PS3 Ratchet & Clank games. So this is like a little inner trilogy, you know?
Okay.
So they came out with the first game, Tools of Destruction.
A story arc, if you will.
Yeah, a three-game story arc. That's a better way of putting it than a trilogy, because it doesn't end with that. Yeah, it was pretty much Clank gets captured, and then you make this big journey through the galaxy, meeting people, trying to find out who captured Clank and why. And I actually haven't played the third game of the story arc, Crack in Time, which came out a year or two ago. I'm a little bit behind on it, but I've been meaning to get that game lately because it's only like $30 now. I think it's the greatest hits. But yeah, anyway, my point is the middle game wasn't a full-featured $60 game. It was a little like $10 or $15 downloadable game that gave you a couple hours worth of gameplay, decent graphics, but not amazing, and some stuff just to kind of...
The graphics on this look amazing.
Okay, that's true, but... I don't know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With like kind of like something to hide
really
people
cool
over.
A really cool feature that this game has, I haven't seen a lot of PSP games, it has... you go to the configuration, and you can change the graphics from 16-bit to 32-bit.
Really?
And it warns you, like, this might chug a little bit. But they also have a CPU speed from normal to accelerated, and also warns you that it drains your battery life faster. Plug-in is recommended. But I really like that idea for a PSP game, like, okay, I'm at home, I'm not going to go out, but I want to play this game. Let's crank everything up.
Wow, I've never heard of system like settings like that on a PSP game or any portable game. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, I like that, just because, like, okay, you want to conserve it. Because I turn the brightness down when I go out, and I try to conserve as much battery as I can.
Yeah, try to keep the
battery. And when I'm home, I plug it in, brightness up all the way.
Might as well, because you're not worried about it. Once it's plugged in, you're good to go.
Yeah, and the cord's not in the way of where my hands is, so it's not inconvenient for me.
Right, yeah, same thing with me when I play Pokemon, because, I mean, the 3DS's battery life is already shorter anyway than it should be. So when I go out, I tone everything down.
Yeah, I'll wait for the 3DS...
Light? Or the 3DSi? Whatever the hell it's going to be.
4DS? You know Nintendo's going to come out with a new model. You just know it. That's how they would do things.
I have more to say about that, but that's going to be in news. Because there was some interesting news about Nintendo's future plans. But let's talk about movies.
No, I don't want to talk about movies yet. I just want to talk about TV.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've watched a lot more TV than you do.
Oh, okay. You can tell me about the TV.
All right, so I want to reiterate the good hits that I want everyone to watch, like Castle. Marcelo's Quantum Kitchen on FX, which last week's was pretty cool.
I watched an episode of that with you after we recorded last week's podcast.
Did you like it?
I can vouch that it was entertaining.
It is really entertaining. So this week he had a Hawaiian theme, and like there's a couple cool dishes, but one of the cooler dishes, he had a, you know, short rib? Like it's not actually a rib. Okay, you don't know food. So,
yeah, I don't... is it a Hot Pocket? Because if not, then the extent of my food knowledge is out the window.
It was a piece of meat and it has some bone on it. And then you kind of pick up the bone and eat it and you cut it up, whatever. But you cook it on a really hot plate.
Okay.
So what he did was he found the guy he was doing the luau for as a surfer. So he got some rocks that was inspired from the beach. And he found a particular rock and he just heated that rock up to like 500 degrees. And gave everyone, what do you call people that eat?
Eaters.
Like the diners.
Diners.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better than eaters.
Diners eat individual hot rock and then they cook their food on it.
Oh, that's really cool.
Another really cool thing he did is he was gonna make a fake coconut, and the technique that he was gonna do is gonna put coconut cream inside a balloon and then rotate that around liquid nitrogen so it would harden on the outside but still be cool in the middle. So it'd be like
crazy.
Ice cream, right? And then he was going to put coconut flavor shaving on top so it looked like a coconut.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole process took like a half hour. So he was like, okay, we can't do that. These guys need to have their dessert. So he took the coconut cream and put it in a ladle and just kind of put it inside the liquid nitrogen and rotated it around. with his hands, which seems really dangerous with liquid nitrogen.
I don't think I'd want my hands anywhere around liquid nitrogen. You'd be freezing your fingertips off.
But no, it's a really cool show. I really find it entertaining. Just like the crazy ideas it comes up with for his catering business.
Okay, well, we don't have to talk too much more about it because we talked about it at some length already last week.
Yeah,
so tell me some other stuff that you've been watching.
So, I watch... let's talk about this real quick. I caught up on all three seasons of Sands of Anarchy, which I think is on FX. But the very first two seasons are on Netflix right now, and I really like that show.
That's the one with the motorcycle gang, right?
Yeah, you follow Jax Teller. And his kind
of... the same Jax from Mortal Kombat? Metal Arms?
No.
Oh.
No. White guy. Oh. Really cool badass. And Ron Perlman's in it from Hellboy.
Mm-hmm.
He actually played Hellboy. And Kathy Sagal from Futurama plays Leela.
Oh, okay. Made I was going to say real actors and voices.
So, yeah, it's about this... focuses on Jax Teller and what his trying to, like, inner struggle to do with this motorcycle gang because he kind of wants to legitimize it, and at first you kind of like understand the gang because they run guns, and it's really hard for a show to have criminals as the protagonist because you kind of have to hate criminals. Like, no one's just like, man, I really like that criminal,
right?
Yeah, so he tries to legitimize it, but like running guns, I can.
Unless you're George Clooney and Brad Pitt stealing from a casino.
Yeah, everyone likes those guys.
Yeah. Sorry. That's the first thing that came to mind. I kind of like those guys. But yeah.
So, they run guns, and, like, it's kind of better than the other gangs, like prostitution and cocaine and heroin.
I guess.
Yeah. They run guns.
Guns kill people.
No, but they run guns, but they don't really care about, like, making lots of money. All they really care about is protecting their small little town of Charming. And any shit that goes down in it, people go to them. And they don't fuck around with anyone.
Okay, so they're kind of like outlaws.
Yeah, they're outlaws.
Okay, I can get a little bit more behind
that.
Like,
they don't want any coke or prostitutes or any sort of hardcore stuff in their little town. But they will run guns and hide guns in their town and then sell the guns outside. They don't care about anything outside their town. They don't care about that.
Right. Okay, that does actually sound like an interesting premise, though. So, like, they do have some sort of standards or whatever.
Yeah, like, they have some honor code. And then so they fight with rival motorcycle gangs and a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really interesting show, and the guy's a complete badass.
Are you talking about Perlman or the other guy?
They're all pretty much badasses.
Well, they're all in a biker gang.
Yeah.
Do they drag chains on the ground?
No.
Chain gang?
No.
Road rash? Road rage? Whatever the hell that old game was on the computer. They beat people with chains. You remember this game?
No.
No? It was like in the 90s. It was like a racing game.
They ride Harleys, and they got shotguns.
Well, I mean, shotguns work, too. Maybe more
effective than chains. So, but a couple new shows premiered this week and last week that I want to talk about.
Tell me about them.
One's is ABC's new show called Happy Endings, which premiered this week.
I love
Awful
it.
Title.
I love that title.
No, it's horrendous.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's complete crap.
I don't want sad endings. I want happy endings.
So... it's a couples show where, like... or I shouldn't say couples. It's more like a friends type show where they have six people. One of them's married. One's gay. But he's not, like, flamboyant gay. He's just, like, a straight dude that likes sports but likes sucking dick.
Great. Love it. Tell me more.
But, so the whole premise of the show, which I don't get how they're going to evolve a whole show around this premise. Very first episode is one of the two people are going to get married. And it's at their wedding. And then, like, they go, does anyone want to interrupt? So this complete jackass runs in with rollerblades and, like, maybe half a shirt or whatever. I can't remember. And he's like, don't marry that guy. Run away with me. So she runs off. And I'm instantly thinking, I'm like, bitch.
Well, to be fair, he had rollerblades. And, yeah.
So it goes, like, the guy that got left at the altar is one of the friends. And then, like, he's kind of crushed. And he's like... doing like, oh, I can't live without her thing. And the friends are kind of console him. And then the gay guy, which I actually kind of like, he's funny. Show's awful, but he's kind of funny. Just like, dude, she went on your honeymoon. And the guy went instantly like, where are my pants? We're going out.
So the gay guy is going on the honeymoon with the guy that got left at the...
No, the gay guy told him, the groom,
uh-huh,
that she's going on the honeymoon. without him.
Oh, that's messed up.
So, like, you think it again. Bitch!
Right.
So, like, they go clubbing, and then he has a one-night stand. So, she comes back from the honeymoon.
Who's she going on the honeymoon with? The guy that the rollerblade guy?
That was a rumor, but, like, she denied it. I don't really know.
Where's the happy ending here?
There is no happy ending. The show's awful. I do not recommend it to anyone.
Well, I can't get behind this title now if it's going to lie to me.
No, it's... Like, I cannot get behind, like, this premise. So she comes back, apologetic, and wants to get back together with him.
Seems like that's a little late.
But here's the weird thing about this. This guy, no rage.
No rage?
No rage whatsoever. Not, like, a tantrum, like, fuck you, bitch, nothing. Just kind of slams the door in her face. And kind of passive-aggressive, like, oh, thanks for breaking us up,
Oh, that sounds realistic enough. Maybe you were just watching too much Sons of Anarchy, and you were expecting to be like, bitch, here's my shotgun!
I wasn't expecting, like, to beat her, but, like, some sort of vocal expression of how much he hates her. None of that.
I don't know. Did he see the rollerblades? Because, I mean, I feel like you're underplaying the importance of that here.
Yeah, so, So I didn't like the first episode. So I tried to give the second episode of any show a shot. Second episode starts off with that the groom going on a date and being a tool. Like, he goes on the one, and, like, he wants to hook up with her, but she goes, like, an emotional, like, I need you thing. And he's like, I need to break up with you. But he doesn't have the balls to actually break up with her.
Well, how is this, like, a one-night stand? Is he together with this girl, or? I don't understand.
Like, he hooked up with some other girl.
Okay.
And he's like, I need to call her, because I don't want to be that bad guy that doesn't call people after hook up with her.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
So this is a trap, because it's a couple show, and they're, like, all the other couples are trying to explain to him, because he hasn't been single in a while, of how the game's played now.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great.
No, it's not really good at all.
Doesn't sound that good.
So I saw... A show that actually quite surprised me that I would kind of like. It's called Breaking In on Fox with Hold Your Horses, Kristen Slater.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw an advertisement for that, and I was like, this show's going to fail because it has Kristen Slater.
Yeah. But Kristen Slater's not the main person, which I think I can handle Kristen Slater in these small little doses that they put him in as the boss, the crazy boss that carries around swords and, like, stabs things and is like, yep, do what I say or else. So, the show follows this guy, name I cannot remember off the top of my head, but he's a hacker by living, and he hacks into his college, and he's getting good grades, and he's getting paid a full scholarship. Not really getting paid a full scholarship, but the school says he is.
Nice.
So Christian Slater finds out, and he blackmails him, and Christian Slater runs a security company where people hire him to break into the security, and make sure, like, to test it, pretty much.
Right.
So, it's a really, really nerdy show.
Nothing wrong with that.
The name of the company is Contra Security.
I can see where they're going.
Like, the little tech guy is a black guy, and he instantly pops in with Han Solo outfits. You want to be my Chewie?
By the way, that's a horrible Chewie impersonation. It is pretty much, as soon as you said their name is Contra Security, I was like, I already know how to hack them. You're just putting the Konami code. What is it like?
Down, down, up, up, left, right, BA, start.
Boom, your security's done. Next.
Which, those are all fine, and they're like, there's a hot girl, and like that's the love interest for the guy, and she hacks, or not hacks anything, but picks locks and steals safes and stuff. But the best part of the entire show is, you know the wise kid you know?
Yeah.
The main guy, Trevor something.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I think he's actually writing for the show, but he's actually starring in the show as, like, the rival to him. And he does all this crazy stuff, and he's, like, the master disguise. But the jokes that he comes up with, which is the main reason I think he's writing for the show, he holds up his fist, or not fist, like his hand, like a U. Uh-huh. You know what this is?
What?
Puts his arms in it, flexes really hard. It's a gun rack. Don't mess with me.
That guy's pretty funny.
Yeah.
He was good in The Whitest Kids You Know, which was a comedy troupe. I don't think... Not everybody has probably heard of them, so they might not have known that, but...
Yeah. You can look them up on YouTube. They're really good.
Yeah. They had some good stuff.
Yeah.
They got some really stupid stuff, but they got some good
That's
stuff.
That's why I'm thinking they write for the show, because a lot of stuff is just like, it's really dumb. But at the time, I keep laughing at the dumbest things, like the gun rack.
Okay, now I feel like this is the perfect opportunity, speaking of laughing at dumb things... Talk about a movie that we saw last night. You ready for this?
I have more TV stuff.
You have more TV? I feel like we've kind of gone on long enough. Why don't you just give me a quick rundown of the other shows that you've gone to?
Okay.
Because I'm on the topic of movies now.
Okay, I just want, like, Perfect Couple, the show I mentioned last week that I kind of like, has been removed from his TV slot and been replaced by Paul Reiser's new show. We're pretty much about Paul Reiser. You know who Paul Reiser is?
I don't know who Paul Reiser is.
He did a show in the 90s called Mad About You.
Okay, I heard about that.
Yeah. I like that show, and I like Paul Reiser. I just didn't like that he replaced Perfect Couples, where I think they should have replaced Outsource.
Yeah.
I really hate Outsource.
Outsource is not great. It's like pretty much The Office in India.
It's not even about The Office in India. It's just about, like, this guy running a telemarketing thing
in India. I've seen it. I'm just saying, like, it reminds me of, like, The Office, but, like, in India.
Oh,
Nothing against India.
Well, they apparently do, because that's all that show is Indian jokes, white people jokes, American jokes, ha 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 ha.
Yeah, race jokes.
Yeah, and it's a one-trick pony.
Yeah, that grows old on me. But, okay, so what's the name of this Paul Reiser show? Do you know? I'm assuming it's not called The Paul Reiser Show.
It totally is called The Paul Reiser Show. He plays himself.
You're lying to me.
No, I'm not even lying to you. It's called The Paul Reiser Show.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a little egotistical.
Well, it's about, like, him himself, and it hasn't been anything since he's done Mad About You, which is kind of true. He hasn't done anything since
also Mad About You. Egotistical. Here's a show about me and everything I've done since my popular thing.
All right, I really like Mad About You.
Okay. You can watch The Paul Reiser Show, then.
I'll give it a shot, but I don't like the fact they replaced Perfect Couples, and NBC has not said that they're going to bring it back.
Bummer.
Yeah.
All right, well, what else?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. Now, back to laughing at dumb stuff. Even though you've kind of derailed my segue.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I have a list.
So we went... saw two movies last night.
Yes.
And very different in contrast from one another.
They were very different altogether.
Yeah. I know. But I want to jump straight into the second movie that we saw last night. Called Your Highness. Which I'm sure most people have heard of.
Yeah,
James Franco, Danny McBride, Natalie Portman, and Zooey Deschanel in a stoner medieval comedy, like high fantasy medieval setting. Like, I wasn't sure what to expect going in. I knew that the guy that was behind Pineapple Express was behind this movie, and so I figured...
I felt like this was Danny McBride's little brainchild that he wanted to do, because his name was all over the credits.
Well, I mean, he is pretty much the main dude in that movie.
No, like, he wrote it, he produced it.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Well, because I didn't expect so much of him in that movie. Like, I knew that he was, I expected more of, like, a duo thing between Franco and him, in which there was some of that. But when you think of Pineapple Express, you don't just think of James Franco or Seth Rogen, you think of the two of them together doing stupid stuff. And this movie was mainly Danny McBride and his servant, Courtney, who is played by some guy I don't even know.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Did you think it was funny?
I think I liked it just because James Franco's in it. Like, the stuff that James Franco does, he can never do wrong in my book. When he's super serious, I like it. When he's not trying to be serious, I like it. When he's trying to be serious and fails at it, I like it.
I feel like... I couldn't tell if he was even trying in this movie, though, because, I mean...
That's the brilliant behind him. You just can't tell.
Because, I mean...
When he did the Oscars, like, wait, is he serious? Is he punking me? Is he punking the Oscars? I don't know. Is he? I can't tell.
It kind of seemed like it, because he has, like, that, like, I don't know, look in his face. Like, he is only partly in character. I never feel like he was the actual character. He was just James Franco that whole movie. And granted, this isn't, like... method acting inside of Your Highness or anything like that.
James Franco is no method actor.
No, I know. But I mean, like, even in Pineapple Express, he was a character, and he was a funny character. In this movie, I felt like he wasn't a character. He was just James Franco in armor and pretending to be a prince. Like, yeah. To me, a lot of the movie felt like sketch comedy. Like,
I did feel that a lot with some of the raunchy jokes, that they're just going from one joke to another joke.
Jack,
like, check out my dick. Ah,
yeah, kind of like a
butt sex. Ah,
pretty much. Yeah. And like, that was one thing that really disappointed me, was like the script. In terms of, they didn't really set up a lot of funny situations or any clever or awkward situations. It was mainly just hey, this is medieval times. Wouldn't it be funny if I said, fuck it. Fuck that. Fucking everything. Fucking A. Like, it just...
Yeah.
Fuck it. It was kind of funny certain times because you don't really hear that kind of language and that kind of vulgarity in medieval setting. But just with the looseness that they were going at it with, like, this is definitely no Princess Bride, definitely no Search for the Holy Grail, Monty Python kind of, where they go head on and they're serious about it, and it's funny, but they're in the universe. This is more just like, this is fake, this is us prancing around and on horses on a quest, just making dick jokes and vagina jokes, of which there were plenty. So yeah, and amazingly, I know that movie's not doing well in the box office, which doesn't surprise me that much, but I heard it cost over $100 million to make.
It does not surprise me it cost that much, because there was a lot of special effects in that movie.
But they weren't good special effects. They were
colorful.
Well, yeah, they were colorful. that's for sure. But, like, there's been a lot of colorful special effects.
Maybe half that money went to James Franco and Natalie Portman, because...
I guess now that they're Oscar winner or nominated actors and winning actresses.
Zooey Deschanel too, I think, deserves a cut of that action.
Yeah,
she was in the movie for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, and it really didn't have to be a major person because as much as I like Zooey Deschanel, she didn't do anything in that whole movie.
Nope, except for how it looked really good.
Yeah, but I mean, there's plenty of girls that could look really good for probably less money than she commands.
Yeah, probably.
Do you think she's like an A-lister? Zooey Deschanel? Because obviously Natalie Portman is.
Yeah, Natalie Portman definitely A-lister.
Yeah, but like Zooey Deschanel, like, she's been in enough now to where she's recognizable, but she...
I still think she's B. I don't think she's hit, like, some sort of acting stride.
She hasn't, like...
I think to be an A-lister, you have to be, like, the Oscars, like, recognize you, or Emmys recognize you as, like, hey, you did a really good job.
Well, I mean, like, there's A-listers out there that haven't been, like, Oscar-nominated and stuff like that. But, like, I feel like, if anything, you have to at least be the main character in a movie. Because yeah. I can't think of a movie... Like, she's been the love interest. She's been in, like, a lot of funny stuff. But I can't think of anything that she's been the main person in. Can you?
No.
Yeah.
Not like, top of my head.
I mean, I want her to be in more movies because I like her. I like her on screen. She's fun. But... I mean, 500 Days of Summer.
I think she has an album.
Yeah, she's a singer. Yeah. And, yeah, which reminds me of that one really random song in the movie.
It wasn't random.
You don't think that was random?
No, because they're singing the vows, and James Franco can't sing.
Yeah.
Or he can pretend not to sing. But I might want to listen to her stuff, because I'm really interested that she's married to the lead guy to Death Cab for Cutie.
Is she?
Yeah. They recently got married, like, last year.
Interesting.
I think it's pretty cool.
I like that band, and I like her. So, I wonder what their child is going to be like.
Pretty and rugged at the same time.
Talented. Be a talented kid. Can act, can sing, can do all kinds of stuff.
What kind of pressure would that kid be under if he wasn't any of those things? If he was just normal.
I'm sure that's happened before. Like, can you imagine... I was going to say Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, but they don't actually have kids. They just adopt kids.
Sure.
They had a baby.
Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, sorry, we're not that much into the whole celebrity culture. But anyway, so the other movie that we saw last night was Hannah.
I really like Hannah.
I really liked it too. Tell me why you liked it.
I really like the concept behind... So the main premise, what we talked about last week, which we were kind of spot on about, I thought...
You talked about more about it than I did, because I didn't really know all that much.
I saw the first trailer, like, years ago, and I was like, yeah, smooth, it's awesome.
Years ago might be an exaggeration.
Year ago? fortnight, if you will.
Oh, yeah. 14 days versus 365. Good comparison. Continue.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What's her name again?
The main girl?
Yeah.
Like, Cerise Ronan, I think is how you say it. Or Cerise...
So we're going to call her Hannah for the rest of this thing. So.
Yeah, yeah. She was the main girl in The Lovely Bones, and she was in Atonement and some other movies.
So can we go back and talk about Hannah now?
Yeah, I know. I just want to make sure people know who I'm talking about, because she's, like, only as of recently kind of come out in some major stuff. So, okay, you're mad. Tell me about Hannah.
Can I tell you about Hannah?
Tell me about Hannah.
I don't know if I can tell you about Hannah. I kind of lost my train of thought. All right, so Hannah, played by blah, blah, blah.
Cerise Ronan.
Sure.
Continue.
Lives with Eric Bana in the forests of Antarctica. I think that's what they came up with.
It seems like it. I didn't really know that there was Antarctican forests. I'm not sure where they were, but...
So yeah, they live alone, and then they kind of set up Eric Bana raising her in combat and hunting and how to survive and just reading her the encyclopedia. Because he lives in the forest and doesn't have access to all that stuff. So she grew up in the forest, and her main mission, the reason she was brought up, is to kill Kate Blanchett's character, which Nate forgot, something Wrangler.
Something Weigler or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a CIA agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For her killing her mother. So Eric Bana is training her, and then once she is ready, she has to flip the switch. So that starts off, and she flips the switch, and Eric Bana's like, okay, I will meet you at this location. And throughout the years, she had her memorize a fake backstory for her. Like, she was born in Germany. She went to this school. She has two best friends. And I'm trying not to spoil the entire movie here, but it's like, that's how it sets up. Like, this show also in the trailer. So she meets this fake CIA agent and pretend to get close to her, and it kills her and escapes.
Right.
So then they find out later that, you know, of course she didn't kill her, and Kate Blanchett's trying to figure out or trying to find both of them without the CIA actually knowing. Because she's kind of going off the books here and trying to cover up what she did.
Yeah. It's actually really interesting. It's full of intrigue. The reason I really liked it was because it doesn't set out telling you very much at all.
It does everything from the overarching plot. Very small doses, though, as you like little hints that you kind of just pick up on. It's like, okay.
Yeah, because you're thrown from the opening title sequence, which is like a hunting sequence with Hannah, out in the Arctic forest hunting this sort of animal. Was it a deer?
Yeah.
Okay. Hunting a deer with a bow and arrow or a crossbow or something.
Bow and arrow.
But yeah, so it's like it just throws you in. It doesn't give you a lot of information right off the bat. And you slowly kind of figure out what's going on between her and Eric Bana, and you see him training her, and you're kind of wondering, why are they all alone in this isolated place? Their relationship seems kind of unique and different than a normal father-daughter relationship, because he's training her in combat. He's reading to her, but instead of reading her bedtime stories, he's reading her all these facts about places and about life from the encyclopedia, and... He's pretty much just like making.
I just kind of assumed that because he didn't have access to the other stuff.
I don't know. I feel like he was like that. Even then, he was just kind of like trying to teach her about the outside world because they were so isolated and far away from it, and she had never seen these things.
Which you do a really good job of showing that in the movie, how like the simplest things that we take for granted, like electricity and how a remote works. She has no idea of how any of that works.
Yeah, because she's used to just living in, like, a log cabinet, so the first time she sees a television and the first time she sees, like, a coffee maker and everything like that, it's so foreign to her, and she doesn't understand what's going on, but yet she's such a sophisticated, trained killer, so it's kind of that, like, she's hyper-smart, but completely ignorant of how, like, the world really works.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really interesting thing, and I know we kind of split on how it was directed. It was directed by Joe Wright, and it was...
Okay, so I like most of the directing, like how he did things. I'm not a big fan of the camera work that he was doing.
I feel like you're mainly stuck on a couple of shots, a few shots
from the movie. I am stuck on those shots. I do not appreciate them in the film.
In the context of the rest of the work?
Yeah.
I can understand a little bit where you're coming from. There's a scene when she's running down a hallway, and she's escaping, and it's kind of this intense scene. This awesome techno music is playing. Which, by the way, there's a bunch of good techno music. It's by a custom soundtrack done by the Chemical Brothers. And it really gives the action scenes and some stuff in the movie a really cool, unique flair to it. How long are we running right now?
I have no idea how to read that.
We're about 55 minutes.
Oh, man.
Okay. We'll
have a lot of stuff to go through.
We'll breeze through some of the news and some of the new releases. But yeah, like, Hannah is a really interesting... It reminded me of the Bourne movies in a way that it's like mm-hmm. It's an international thriller. It spans multiple continents. There's a lot of subtitles with different languages being spoken. Lots of just mystery and stuff, and you're slowly finding out more and more about what's going on, what the backstory is, and it's paced really well. And the action scenes are really well done. There's a couple of really cool fight scenes, and while they're brief, they're memorable.
Mm-hmm, and, for sure.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'll take small, memorable fight sequences over lengthy, overdone, you know, stuff that's in some of the other movies. But, anyway, so there's that.
So, of those two, you would see Hannah and recommend Hannah and not Your Highness.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're for very different people. Like, there's going to be a set of people that really enjoy Your Highness. And if you're into those stoner type of comedies and stuff like that, and don't expect high production value and...
I think stoner's comedy get a better... I think they can legitimately be funny sometimes. I also think this one went that route.
That's true. Pineapple Express.
Kind of like Scary Movie. Scary Movie 1 and 2, pretty good. After that, they just went nothing but pop culture and spawned the disaster movies and...
To your Highness's credit, they never go the pop culture references, which is
no
nice.
They stick with dicks and vaginas.
Yeah, and that does get old. So, but yeah, Hannah is really unique. It's not going to be for everyone because it is a little bit more measured in its pacing and a little bit more.
I feel like thrillers, which is a genre I think gets underappreciated sometimes.
Thrillers and, yeah, like even action movie fans I think will get a kick out of it. Even though there's not a bunch of action, it builds up to it really well and makes the action really exciting. Other than that, the only other movie I saw in a theater this week was The Beaver with Mel Gibson. But I don't think I can really talk about it that much because it was an advanced screening.
Oh.
And,
You can give us, like...
I can give a little bit of a backstory on it. Right. It was shot about 2 years ago, because it stars Mel Gibson and Jodie Foster, and Jodie Foster directed the movie. And it never released, because I think all that bad stuff happened with Mel Gibson, that they kind of wanted... And this is a little bit of a speculation, I haven't looked deep into this, but I know it was going to come out... at like either the end of 2009 or sometime mid 2010, but they postponed it. And my guess is because all that bad press happened about Mel Gibson and all that angry stuff.
Yeah, more likely no one to go see that movie ever after that.
Right, because a lot of people really hated Mel Gibson after all that stuff.
I think people still do hate Mel Gibson.
Yeah, but eventually you have to release the movie, and I feel like that's long enough ago that where it's finally it's coming out in May. So I mean, like even a little bit farther now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very strange concept. Mel Gibson is super depressed in the movie. He's this successful businessman that's just lost all enjoyment in his life. His marriage is loveless. He just doesn't get anything out of it. His son hates him.
I feel like you're just talking about Mel Gibson, not a Mel Gibson movie.
Right. So yeah, exactly. Like, there is kind of like that parallel between him in real life and him in this movie. And so early on in the movie, as he's moving out away from his wife, they're separating, he's throwing all of his stuff in a dumpster and he finds this hand puppet, which is a beaver. And he just finds it to be really strange that there's a hand puppet in a dumpster. And so he just grabs it kind of out of just curiosity. And he starts playing with it. He puts his hand in the puppet and things like that. And he kind of plays with it, but he doesn't think too much of it. And he gets really drunk. And that night, he tries to kill himself. He's about to... He tries hanging himself in a shower, and that doesn't work. So, he ties his tie around the pole that holds the shower curtain, and he jumps off the ledge, or the little tip of the shower, but obviously the shower curtain thing comes down.
This seems like an awful
plan. Well, I mean, he's really drunk.
Oh.
So then he's about to jump off the ledge of this tall hotel, when all of a sudden... His hand kind of starts talking to him through this beaver that he's still wearing while he's about to commit suicide. And he decides not to kill himself. He kind of scares the crap out of him, so he falls back down on the inside, not on the outside of the window. And I don't want to give too much else away from the movie, but it's mainly Mel Gibson talking through a hand puppet through the rest of the film.
Like he's totally disattached himself from the world and he becomes his hand puppet?
Yeah, because that's his way of coping with things, which I actually think is kind of interesting. Because he's so disgusted with who he's become and how he's depressed everybody around him, and he's so all-encompassed and consumed with his depression, mm-hmm. that he creates this new personality through this beaver that he wears on his arm with, like, this British accent, and it's not him. He doesn't consider it to be him at all. He considers it to be someone completely different from him, and he kind of starts over fresh as a new person through this puppet. And the puppet talks to him as a person, and then he talks back to the puppet, and he has full-on conversation.
Does the puppet have a different voice than him?
Yes.
Okay.
He has just his normal Mel Gibson voice, and the puppet has, like, this cheery British accent, which is actually kind of funny. And he does it consistent through the whole movie, so it's an
You actually see him, like, move his lips talking to it? It's not just some voiceover British dude?
No, you see him talking as the puppet to the puppet, and then him talking back as him. Like, he's, like, going back and forth between two people.
Okay.
Yeah, and he doesn't recognize that it's a separate person. And this freaks out everybody in his family and at his work. And it leads to all kinds of cool stuff. And it's funny because, like, for the first half hour of the movie or whatever, I guess I'm just going to end up talking about it. Because I'm not going to give any more spoilers about the movie because that's all early on. But
it's like weird. It's a similar premise than Lars in the Real World.
Well, I didn't see that movie, so I can't. Maybe.
Well, because Lars Ulrich goes, like, he's having a hard time with relationships, and so
he creates that person. Yeah. So, yeah, kind of like that, but, like, he's creating another, like, version of himself, you know, through this puppet. And it's weird because the whole first part of the movie seems like it's going to be this inspirational kind of, like, turn around your life kind of thing. Like, everything starts going well for him. And it's almost a little cheesy and a little hokey in how it handles it. And I'm like, okay. But then it gets really dark. And the whole, like, there's some twists at the end and things like that, but it goes unexpected places, and so I still don't know how I feel about it.
When this movie comes out, would you recommend it people to watch it, or would you say wait till, like, DVD or Netflix?
I walked away enjoying what it did, because it did something that I wasn't expecting, and I ended up handling the themes of the film in a much more mature, if not a little bit of a kind of crazy way. But yeah, it is entertaining. And it's well enough made. It's made well enough. And it's Mel Gibson, love him or hate him, is interesting enough as two separate people that I would say see it. But temper your expectations because the movie goes in some weird places.
Okay.
If not, weirder than just him talking to himself.
Maybe I'll check that out when it comes out.
Yeah.
So, I also saw this other movie, but I want to wrap this up pretty soon, get back to games and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I can save this for next week, because I think we would talk about this even more in depth, mm-hmm. is Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead. Very first time seeing it this week. Great film. I really want to talk about it.
We can talk about that next week,
though. I feel like that would just spawn into zombie talks.
Okay.
So I want to save that for next week.
Okay, because I own that movie on DVD, and I have my own opinions about that, so we can talk about that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's save that next time.
Oh, that's fine. So you want to talk about news?
Yeah, let's talk about some news. I like some news.
Okay.
Nothing like super major news happening. Most news I'm excited for is Final Fantasy VI coming to the PlayStation Network, a.k.a. Final Fantasy VI coming to my PSP.
Yeah, that's exciting. Although I think right now it's only coming out in Japan, although I'm sure they're eventually going to release it in the US. I know you're a big Final Fantasy buff. I don't know if you heard about this. I saw this recently, though. Game Informer apparently leaked some information about their next issue. Game Informer is convinced that at this year's E3, and this just came out like a couple days ago, that Nintendo is going to announce the successor to the Wii.
Really?
Yes. They're saying this is the year. They're saying it's not going to come out this year, but they're saying
that we have a project.
They have early reports that at this year's E3, they are going to announce the next Wii. I don't know if it's going to be called Wii. They don't. It's very vague what they're talking about. But they
said. What do you think about that? Because they haven't really, besides Mario, and they're coming out with Zelda, there hasn't been anything that like makes me really want to play my Wii again except for maybe the Zelda. And this is like the very first Zelda that I'm very timid on.
Right. I think it's good timing because the 360 and the PS3 have both now come out with their motion controllers. The PS3 kind of mimics the Wii, but with much higher accuracy, and the PS3 is capable of doing a lot more than the Wii can. And the 360 has won over a bunch of people with the Kinect. It's been very successful.
Which I find surprising because the lack of...
Well, there hasn't been a bunch of games yet.
I think everyone likes Dance Central and then the interface that's coming out with all that stuff.
But I mean, it's the same thing with how the Wii originally launched. It had... just
you're not
enough,
telling me in the same way.
But hear me out. So when the first Wii came out, the Wii Sports kind of wowed everybody. And it was enough of a wow factor and enough of that's interesting. What are they going to do with that? That everyone bought into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could say that the motion controls since for the Wii have kind of fizzled out. And they've just gone back to making more traditional games. So now they've lost that wow factor. And the 360 has captured it with the Kinect. All those people that bought the original Wii and everything have kind of... sounds like they're gravitating towards the Kinect, and then the hardcore are finding that the Move controller for the PS3 is much better than what the Wii is offering, at least in my opinion. So I think now is a good time for Nintendo to try to gain some traction again. They just released the 3DS. Right around summer, they're going to start coming with their heavy hitters for the 3DS, their 3D remakes of their classics Nintendo 64 games, and... some new games and stuff like Kid Icarus and things like that. And I think just to keep that momentum kind of rolling back in their favor, because they've been kind of, you know, slowly moving along. Apparently Wii sales have been dropping pretty quickly as of late. I think everyone who bought a Wii, everyone who wanted a Wii has a Wii now, and they're not selling a bunch of games to those people because they're not big gamers that buy Wiis. And the gamers that have bought Wiis, there haven't been enough big games for the Wii for them to keep them interested, so they're gravitating back to their other consoles. So I think now, what Game Informer has said is that it will be HD, 1080p, and that it'll have graphics capabilities far surpassing what's possible on the 360 or the PS3, which doesn't actually surprise me it's surprising when you think about it, but then the more you think about it, the 360 and the PS3 are both... what, 6 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that? So any new tech definitely have...
Yeah, they haven't improved graphics or anything on either system. They just improve the system itself so it runs better.
Right. And still, the graphics on both are still pretty good and pretty fine, but a new piece of tech, a new console coming out, you think, wow, this is 5 years after the PS3 or whatever. Like, this is, you know, this is interesting. So I'm really curious to see... and again... They're speculating.
The first time that Nintendo left off the console wars, the very first step, because last time Xbox came out, and then it was PlayStation, and then it was Wii, or was it Xbox, Wii, and PlayStation?
I'm not sure. It could have been different in previous.
Pretty much what I'm asking is, do you think this will be the
preemptive strike?
Yeah.
It depends on what they show. It depends on how it. If I feel like it's still early, maybe they're just going to announce that they're working on it. And that to keep an eye on it for next year. I don't know if they would actually have a final concept.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to come out anytime soon.
It's not coming out this year, for sure. There's no way.
Oh, yeah.
You can't announce it at E3 and then release it at the end of the year. There's no way. Not for a full console. But I'm wondering if they even have a concept of like maybe like some early tech or whatever. I'm thinking maybe some tech demos. What I'm most interested in is what they're going to do with the motion controls, whether they're going to really stick with it and push it farther, or if they're going to kind of scrap it and maybe go back to a more traditional game controller.
I think they're going to have to do something with it, because I think they invest too much in...
Well, they did make their name for themselves in that, but I'm not sure what to think about it yet.
I think the marker right now is motion control with the Kinect and Move, and I think if they try to get away from that, I think they might lose too much.
Right.
I think the cost-benefit from that would just be too great.
And then, while they led in motion controls at first, the other thing that really interests me is the thing that they've always lagged behind severely in, which is how they handle online capability. Because the Wii...
Awful.
The Wii, the GameCube... Nintendo's always for whatever reason, been very poor about implementing good online connectivity into their consoles. I think
their whole thing is they want people to go to other people's houses and then have fun with their friends, which I like.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, that's still how I play a lot of games. I also like
options.
But, like, even besides just online gaming, which seems like it started happening a little bit with the Wii, with, like, some Smash Brothers Brawl and some GoldenEye was online and some Mario Kart and stuff like that, but it wasn't system-wide, it was, like, game-by-game basis. And I felt like there was never any, like, actual Nintendo's online plan. You never had, a vision as to what they were going with. Because the 360 and the PS3, besides offering online gaming, they have a consistent offering with, like, the 360 offers so much with the Netflix and...
Which Wii also has.
Okay, yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, the full Xbox Live feature set with full friends list, cross-game invites, downloading free demos for every game. They have like
Nintendo does do demos for some of their.
But I feel like theirs is just such a more scattershot approach. Like,
yeah.
Xbox Live is so much more streamlined than WiiWare and everything like that. And PSN, again, still like these are two systems that are just so much more feature rich online and have so much more going for them online, especially with PS3 now offering like. Cloud saves and stuff like that. Like, that seems like they're really pushing stuff even more online, and that seems like where the future is, and so Nintendo's really going to have to do something to wow people, or at least get people on board and say, okay, this is as good, if not better, than what we have on our other modern consoles right now. So I'm just really looking forward to E3 and seeing what they do have to offer, and hoping that Game Informer is right on this. They're normally not wrong, especially when they come out so brazenly and say this kind of stuff, but it should be interesting because this is the first I've heard of this kind of stuff. But that news broke this week.
There's been other news. Captivity, which is Capcom's
Captivate, not Captivity.
I feel like I'm kept in captivity for some of the stuff that they release.
Captivity. Yeah, Capcom going nuts with their announcements lately. Well, because it was their big event.
Yeah, it's their, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Even though it was E3 and all this other stuff, I don't feel like that's unnecessary for them to do.
I like their...
Do you know if the public can go to that? Because that's the only other...
Captivate?
Music. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that much about Captivate. I'm not even sure where it was held. Was it in the U.S. or Japan?
I don't know.
Well, what Captivate was Capcom, as a company, held their own... event. It was I don't know if it was a couple days long or if it was just one day. It might have just been one day. And they pretty much just show all their upcoming games, and they made some big announcements. A bunch of games coming from the Resident Evil franchise. They're remaking Resident Evil Code Veronica X and 4. Resident Evil 4 in HD for download for the PSN and the Xbox
One. I don't really want to talk too much about this because...
I'm just kind of going through their announcements. And then... obviously, they showed more about the 3DS game Resident Evil Mercenaries, and they announced that it's going to ship with a demo for the other 3DS Resident Evil game called Resident Evil Revelations, which is going to be an actual full Resident Evil game. Mercenaries is just kind of like a mode where you run around and shoot zombies. There's no story or anything to it. It's kind of like the Mercenaries mode from 4 and 5.
Okay.
They showed... The big news was they showed gameplay from Street Fighter Cross Tekken, which is that it's not versus Tekken, it's cross Tekken, because it's not that crazy Marvel versus Capcom kind of thing.
They want to be very specific. Hey, it's a fighting game,
right? But it's using the Street Fighter 4 engine. It's very much like Street Fighter 4, but they changed around the controls to make things more similar to the way Tekken fights as well as how Street Fighter fights, and they added a bunch of Tekken characters in, and it's kind of a cross thing. And then there's going to be a Tekken Cross Street Fighter, which is going to be the Tekken engine where Tekken fighters fight Street Fighter characters in a 3D environment, as of where this is Street Fighter Cross Tekken in that 2D Street Fighter. Am I confusing you?
A little bit. Are you telling me they're making two different games on two different engines using the exact same characters?
Yes. But they're going to be completely different games.
This sounds really dumb.
No. I think it's cool.
I think it's dumb.
Well, let me explain to you. So, Street Fighter, you know, they have the 2D fighting, right?
Right.
And Street Fighter 4 has been really popular, right?
Right.
Okay. So, they're bringing in the Tekken cast. So, Street Fighter fights Tekken, right? And in this kind of game, it's going to be using the Street Fighter aesthetic, using that engine in a 2D environment, which is new for Tekken. Because Tekken's always been in a 3D arena.
Okay.
Kind of like a Soul Calibur, right? So this is going to be new to Tekken. And Tekken uses four buttons versus Street Fighter uses six. So they're bringing in the four-button combos for the Tekken characters, but they're keeping the six-button combos for the Street Fighter characters. So it's going to be two completely different fighting styles, where Street Fighter is more like defensive, kind of hold your ground, counterattack kind of stuff, and Tekken's more like offensive juggles, like make big long combos where you juggle people into the air and keep them going where they can't fight back. So it's two completely different fighting styles coming against each other. And in this game, it's going to be in the Street Fighter aesthetic. And
and a Capcom title for this game?
Street Fighter Cross Tekken. So since Street Fighter comes first in the title, it's going to be like a Street Fighter game, but they're fighting Tekken characters.
And the other game is called?
Tekken Cross Street Fighter.
That's dumb.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not huge into fighting games, but I like Tekken. I like Street Fighter.
This whole thing seems like a gamble. There wasn't any news on DMC, right?
No, they didn't announce anything about the new Devil May Cry. So that was the one of the games that everyone knows they're working on that they didn't show anything of. So hopefully they'll show some of the stuff like that on at E3, because I'm really curious to see how that's shaping up.
They did announce a game that I'm actually kind of looking forward to. It's called
Dragon's Dogma. Oh, we said that at the same time.
Which I thought was weird because it's made by the people that made DMC 3 and DMC 4.
Right.
But it kind of plays like Devil May Cry and Shadow of the Colossus a little bit.
Interesting.
Because he's like a third person, not so much as a combo hack and slash, but like a third person...
adventure?
Yeah, kind of an adventure game, but he can like jump on the bosses and climb up them and do that kind of stuff.
And I heard it's going to be an open world game too, so yeah. That's something different than the typical linear action game that they're doing. So anyway, Capcom's doing a lot of stuff. There's a lot of videos online.
Yeah.
And everything about that. Any other major news coming up this week?
Yeah. Portal 2 is coming out on Tuesday.
Well, that's more of a new release.
No. I'll talk about that. Valve explained how the Steam, PS3, and PC connection is going to work.
Yes.
Which I still think I might be wrong on this. This is going to be the first game that does cross-platform.
You're wrong on that.
I am wrong on that. Yeah. Did Unreal Tournament do it?
I know there's been cross-platform before between the 360 and the PS3. Or no, sorry. 360 and the PC. There's been Shadowrun was a game that you could play cross-platform. Do you remember that game?
I do remember that game.
You could PC players could play against 360 players online.
Okay.
And 360 for a little while was pushing for that to be the next big thing, and then it never really took off.
I would think so, because PC has a distinct advantage over 360 players in the FPS run.
Right. But this is the first time that Steam is going to be coming to a console.
So this is really interesting, because everyone knows Steam at this point, and even if you don't...
It's Valve's, the people that made Half-Life and Portal and Team Fortress. It's their online distribution store for selling games.
Which actually pretty much came out to be the PC's main distribution for games.
Yeah, like, it's...
For digital distribution.
And in the PC community, I mean, there's other services, but Steam is kind of the big one that a lot of people really respect and trust, because Valve is a company that has really garnered a lot of respect from PC gamers.
Right.
So, and they do, like we mentioned earlier, Steam sales, which... they discount games like crazy and make them super cheap. And then I buy a lot of them, and I can't control myself.
So back to this announcement. So pretty much the PC people can play with the PC 3, but they have friend matchmaking. And your PS3 now, when you buy the PS3 version of Portal 2, will install some sort of Steam app. And you put in your Steam account information, and I'll link those two together.
Yes.
So when you earn achievements of one, it'll unlock for the other.
Right. And you can play, people on the PC can play co-op with people on the PS3.
Right. I still think, it might not be too late to pre-order Portal 2 on Amazon to get that $20 like we mentioned last week. But if you buy the PS3 version, you do get the PC version for free.
Right.
So,
but they're both, the important thing though there is, since you're creating a Steam account through your PS3, It does give you a free PC version of Portal 2, but they're both linked to the same account. So you can't buy the PS3 version and have one person play the PC version co-op with you on your PS3 version, because they count as one person because you're on one account. So you couldn't buy the PS3 version and then let me play the PC version and us play together because they're on the same account. You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it also has co-op.
Yes.
Which is kind of the main thing of things. But you can split screen co-op.
Yes.
So why can't you split or do the account thing because you'd be playing?
Because it counts as the same copy of the game.
Hmm. Okay.
But yeah, it has split screen co-op on the PS3. I'm pretty sure the PC version does not have split screen co-op.
That'd be crazy in so many ways.
That wouldn't make even any sense.
You need two keyboards and two mouses.
Yeah.
Two mice.
Two mice. Yes. I don't know why that was confusing. Yeah.
Well, because does that work? Because they're not actual mouse.
Yeah, it's a mouse. And then you have two of them, they're mice. It's the plural of mouse.
Okay. Well, I know it's the plural of mouse, but does it the same? Because they're two different things.
Yeah,
it's mouse and a mouse.
It's the same.
Okay.
Yeah, so new releases.
New releases for video games this week.
Big week. I'm going to spend a lot of money this week.
I'm going to spend a little less than you, because Mortal Kombat on the PS3 and 360 coming out.
Buying it.
Yeah.
I'm buying it.
You're buying the PS3 to get Kratos, right?
Yes. Because I told you, I'm already big into God of War. I'm getting Kratos. I think you get a special level. It has to do with Mount Olympus.
So I'll probably be coming over a lot to play that with you.
Yeah, and we'll definitely talk about that because I love Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, definitely look forward to next week. We're going to talk about zombies and all these games that we're going to be playing. Mentioned earlier, Portal 2.
Yep, buying it.
Buying it.
We're both buying it.
Yep.
Goddamn love Portal.
Everyone loves Portal. If you haven't played it, my cousin hasn't played the first one. And I haven't played the first couple levels, and she loves it. She wants to come and play it all the time now.
I can honestly say I've beaten Portal more than any other game this generation. I've beaten Portal about 5 times. It's such a fun, simple game.
And the big... Well, I should say the big. I think the one that's going to cost the most money for both of us.
Yeah, the other two I think are bigger releases. But this one is the one we're both excited for reasons that aren't even relatively...
To the game. Because I'm lukewarm on the game.
Me too.
SOCOM 4 Navy SEALs.
Yes, we're both buying it. But not necessarily to play SOCOM 4.
Yeah, we're both buying the fully developed edition, which I still think you can pre-order GameStop if you hurry.
Yeah. What that is it's a $150 special edition of the game that comes with the PlayStation Eye camera, the PlayStation Move controller, and the navigation controller, and the sharpshooter attachment, which is the rifle-like attachment that you put all the components in. So it's a full Move set, which you and me both wanted to buy the PlayStation Move, and it costs $100 for the
camera. I would only buy it if something like this came out. Otherwise, I would never buy the PlayStation Move. It costs way too much money to get started.
Individually priced, yes.
Yes.
But when in a bundle like this, and you get the SOCOM game, which is a $60 game by itself.
All right, so if you take the SOCOM game out of the price of the $150,
you get
$90.
What? What?
The math, right?
Mm-hmm. Wait, what are you talking about?
60 from 150.
Yeah. So all those things besides the game combined cost $90. When you bought them separately, the camera itself is like $30. The wand is $50.
I think they come with a wand, camera, champions
pack. Well, I'm saying like if you bought them individually like on Amazon. But yeah, the actual pack that they've been selling up to this point is one camera, one wand, and one starting sports game, and that by itself is $100. That doesn't come with the navigation controller, which is $30, which has the analog stick on it, and the sharpshooter attachment, which is actually looks like a pretty nice piece of tech that you put everything in, and it's got a full trigger. And
it's
everything.
Not like the Wii stuff, like you put like the Wiimote inside this little plastic thing. It has sensors and
it has actual buttons that do things. It has a cocking system to reload your guns in games and things like that. It seems pretty full-featured and pretty cool. That alone sells for $40. So when you put those things all together, it would be $175 or something like that. So you're actually getting a bunch of stuff, plus a $60 game, military shooter, that we're both like, it's getting mediocre reviews. It seems like it'll be kind of fun. But we mainly want it for this other stuff. So
I kind of want it until they come out with Rainbow Six, and I'll be all over that.
Yeah. And I mean, you can play the full game with the move, and you can play Killzone 3 with the move, which we're about halfway through the co-op campaign, so we'll probably be going back to that. And plus, we also really want the move so we can go back and play through Resident Evil 5 with the move. And I just want the move, and I think this is a good price for this bundle to come out at. So even though it's $150, you get a lot for your money, and we're gonna both be buying that.
Yeah.
So save some money.
So movies, it's a little dry from like this week and last week of what's coming out.
Scream 4 is coming out.
Well, Scream 4 came out.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Scream 4 came out today. My bad. And I want to talk a little bit about that because I talked to you about this earlier. I want to do a Scream movie marathon. Scream 1, 2, and 3.
And then go see 4?
And then go see 4. Kind of like we did with the Resident Evil movies. We watched Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3, and then that night went and saw 4. And like, because that's the best way to just get involved in a series and get involved in a franchise is just to go back to back, and it keeps it fresh in your mind.
Alright, and then
and this isn't the first time, this isn't the last time we'll be doing stuff like this, because there's a lot of sequels coming out this summer, so we talked about with Fast 5 coming out later, we could watch Fast and Furious 1 through 4.
No, I'm going to get a lot of beer on that one.
I'm okay with a lot of beer on that one. That one,
it's getting past 2 and 4, I'm just going to like,
you'll get past 2, and then you'll get to Tokyo Drift, and you'll be like, alright, cool.
I like Tokyo Drift a lot.
So I like the first one. Not so hot on the second one. Like the third one. I haven't seen the fourth one, but
it's really funny that the third one has nothing to do with Paul Walker and Vin Diesel. Is the best one.
Yes.
And they killed off Hans, which is one of the main characters. And yet everyone after that, they keep bringing him back.
Did they kill him?
Yeah, he's dead.
But he's in the new one.
Timelines. They're like, oh, this happened before Tokyo Drift.
Oh, are they saying that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Well, see, this is why we need to watch all of them in a row and figure this out for ourselves.
The intricacy, wow.
Intricacy.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you for speaking English for me. Oh, the Fast and Furious universe doesn't have to make a lot of sense.
Right. Stuff's going to blow up. It doesn't matter what.
Also, Dwayne Johnson looks really stupid in a goatee.
But that's later. We'll talk about that when we do that marathon. But this,
so, movies this week, coming out is Water for Elephants, which is some sort of romantic comedy with...
It's not a romantic comedy. It's a romantic drama.
That's even worse.
Yes, with Robert Pattinson.
From Twilight and Reese Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon, and it's like...
I'll talk about that for a little bit.
Circus love.
Not about... Yeah, I don't know what that movie's about.
They're in a traveling circus.
But you know how we kind of lied earlier, how we're not into gossip?
Yeah.
I'm a little into gossip.
Okay.
So Reese Witherspoon and Jake Gyllenhaal, which I like, were together for a really long time.
Okay.
And I think the rumor was she wanted to get married and he didn't. So they broke up. So she gets married, like, not even a year, like a couple months, to some other guy. And then everyone's like, what's Jake Gyllenhaal doing on Reese Witherspoon's wedding? Bowling out with his friend, picking up chicks.
I like Jake Gyllenhaal. That guy's a badass. That guy's a time-traveling badass.
Dude, like, nothing... Like, there's pictures of him on the internet just sitting at a hot dog stand like, oh, this is so good.
I've seen those pictures. Those are really funny. Those are really funny pictures. We're getting off topic here. Let's go back to the new releases.
Tyler Perry coming out with a new movie.
I am not watching that. I can't stand Tyler Perry. I don't care what anyone says.
Like, I'm sure his movies are funny for black people, but I didn't even think, like, then just, like, he's not even being a good director and story. He's just, like, these jokes, black people find funny. It's a black people movie. It has nothing but black people.
Not that this is racist or anything.
No, it's not racist. This is what he's actually doing. He's not hiding this fact from anyone.
He makes African-American film comedies. And I am not in that target demographic, and I will never be in that target demographic.
I've watched a couple of them.
Have you really?
Yeah, they are not that funny.
He puts on a fat suit and pretends to be this fat girl named Madea. I can't watch them. I can't watch them. They're not for me. I can't stand this.
The greatest movie ever sold, which is that guy that did...
That looks interesting. The guy that did Everybody Loves Raymond, right? Are we talking about the... No. I'm thinking of a different movie.
Yeah, you're totally thinking of it. This is the guy that did Supersize Me.
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but this movie is the one
that... After his failed TV show.
Yeah.
Because...
After he's failed everything after Supersize Me, he's coming out with another movie... That's about product placement and advertising, completely funded by product placement and advertising.
Yes, which I like product placement and advertising.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I hate it.
Really?
I hate it. Well, we should go see that movie and then have a discussion about product placement.
Like, I like subtle product placement.
Well, we should go see this movie and then have a conversation next week about product placement advertising.
So much money. Apollo 18's coming out. Which
I haven't even seen a trailer for that.
I haven't seen a trailer for that either, so I was like, what's this? Street Kings 2, which, if I remember Street Kings right, that was the one with Keanu Reeves, right?
Yeah. He was a king of the streets.
I have no idea. Like, these are some of these movies that...
I had no idea there was a sequel to that. There's no way Keanu Reeves is in that. That's got to be some sort of, like, direct-to-DVD bullshit.
Nope.
I was going to say, Keanu Reeves is better than that. Come on now.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's about it on new releases.
Okay. So we got through the games, the movies.
Wait. Since we were talking about the Wii and hardcore games, I figure I should probably mention this. Conduit 2 coming out on the Wii.
Oh, yeah. The first Conduit was considered, like, the big shooter, the big first-person shooter for the Wii, showing that first-person shooters can be done while on the Wii. And it was fairly well-received. People seemed to like it. It's like a sci-fi shooter. We didn't play it.
I played it.
Did you play it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, the second one's coming out. I don't know. I don't play first-person shooters on the Wii. I play Nintendo games on the Wii. If it doesn't have Donkey Kong, Zelda, Metroid, or Mario in it, I'm probably not playing it on the Wii.
Yeah, I also don't like any of the multi-platform Wii games.
If it's on something besides the Wii, I'm probably going to play it on something besides the Wii.
Yeah. I think that's the consensus of most people.
Yeah. Not to bash the Wii. But
bash
it's
the Wii. Go ahead.
But it's normally not the best platform of multi-platform
games. It doesn't look as good, and they throw some motion controls.
And there's no online, and there's no achievements, and I don't have friend lists, and... Bah, it's not in the high definition. Yeah. Suck a dick.
So. I feel like there's a PS2, which is like one generation, and then this, like, the Wii is one step up, and then the Xbox and PS3 is one step above that.
Right. And then the PC is one step above that.
PC is always like three steps behind that. It's amazing to me that Crysis 1, best looking game on the PC to date, came out in 2007.
Yeah. Mirror's Edge still looks really good. 2007 or 8. I want to play Crysis 2.
What? Where'd that come from?
I want to play Crysis 2. You talking about Crysis 1? I want to play Crysis 2.
Why do you want
to
play Crysis 2?
Because it looks fun.
It does look fun.
I like shooting things.
It's broken on the PC, though, so...
I know. I'll get it when it goes on Steam sale.
There you go. I was thinking with your
some
head.
Some year or two from now.
People still playing.
Well, I feel like we should wrap this up. This is a longer one than the original.
Dude, yeah, I think next week,
and energy.
Well, I still have tons of energy left.
That's okay.
Like, there's some other stuff I would like to talk about, but I think we can wait till next week.
All right, well, host with the most, why don't you wrap us up here?
I don't even have a good sign-off. Shit, we gotta come up with one.
Well, you have a whole week to come up with a sign-off for episode 3. So what's your episode 2 sign-off?
Brain Dead Junkies, come look at us on Facebook. Pretty soon we're going to be on iTunes once I figure that out.
Yeah,
email exciting. Address, braindeadjunkies@gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes.
Send us some emails. If we do start getting emails, whether they're questions or comments or concerns, we'll talk about them and address them unless they're really stupid. Or maybe we'll talk about them even more in that case. But yeah, hit us up. Tell us what you have to think, questions, anything you'd like
comments,
to
say. Comments, concern, what we do better.
That's about it. And really now we're going away.
Terrible sign off.
I don't know. You weren't doing anything better. Anyway, thanks for joining us, and we will hit you up with even more interesting news about junk next week.
Interesting news about junk, great.
Yeah. Peace.